Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
And welcome to your brothers and sisters today to our program on The Will of God. I'm Father Robert Young with you this morning, live in Alexandria, Louisiana. Today is first Saturday in the month of July, this beautiful month dedicated to the precious blood of Jesus. So we ask that blood of Jesus to cover us today, cover especially our memories, our intellects, and our wills, cover the places where we live, to drive far from us any effects or influence of the evil one, to bring us only the good effects, the blessings, the graces of God Himself through the intercession of Mary Immaculate on this, her day. So we pray as always in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come, divine will, think in our thoughts today. Listen in our listening, speak in our speaking. Beat in our heartbeats, breathe in our breathing, circulate in our blood and in our memory and in our intellect and our will. Heavenly Father, we desire to know your will because it is everything. It is your very divine life reigning in the humanity of Jesus and in the heart of Mary. We ask now that divine will to come and possess us completely, for it is the reign of your kingdom. It is your kingdom come to live in our souls and our living in that kingdom. So help us, dear Lord, as we complete today, as we finish this study of volume 12 of Luisa's writings, that the gift you gave to her would also be imparted to us, that our hearts and minds would be open to receive whatever you wish to teach us today, not just for us, but through this network, as these radio waves go over the internet and over phones and across the country, that all souls would come to know, to love and possess what you wish to give us. We make this prayer through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, always our Mother and Queen of the Divine Will, who we ask to help us understand, to know, to love, and possess it ourselves. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us, and all you angels and saints, pray for us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we celebrate this first Saturday in the month of July, we come to the last passage of the volume 12, very important volume in Luisa's 36-volume diary, The Book of Heaven, one of the longest written under obedience in the Church, over 40 years under complete submission and obedience to the Church in the name of the bishop and her confessors, and one very important person, a canonized saint of the Church, St. Hannibal de Francia, who was her editor and publisher, censor, the one who gave the nihil obstat, that is, nothing contrary to the faith, to her writing so it could be accepted by the Church. So we thank God for St. Hannibal today and ask for his intercession to help us also. He was the first, really, to make this great spirituality known to the world. And we're so grateful and indebted to him and to God for using him for this purpose. So we ask him to help us as well as we conclude this most important volume of Luisa's life. And so we're going to conclude now with this last passage of volume 12. But just before that, I want to share with you this morning part of the passage from today's gospel from Matthew chapter 9. This is for this Saturday. This first Saturday from the 13th week in ordinary time. And Jesus says in that when people ask him why his disciples don't fast, he says, well, you don't fast when the bridegroom is with you, but when he's gone, then my disciples will fast. And then he says, no one patches an old cloak with a piece of unshrunken cloth, for its fullness pulls away from the cloak and the tear gets worse. People do not put new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the skins burst, the wine spill out, and the skins are ruined. Rather, they pour new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. That image of, brothers and sisters, of the new wineskins, I think is so crucial to us as we come to this new and divine holiness, this divine science of God's will, because while it is not a new revelation in one sense, it's not a new doctrine or teaching of the church, it is a new understanding of what we already know in the church. And you see, the Holy Spirit is always doing that, is always giving us new perception, new understanding, appreciation for all that God has already done. So this is not new in that sense. But what is new is the wineskin. See, it's the same wine of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins, God's mercy poured out upon us, but we must be the new wineskins. And when the new wine goes into new wineskins, which is our humanity, then that new wine has a whole new power and effect and dimension of accomplishing God's will in the world today, of bringing that prayer of Jesus to completion, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I hope you can see this. So everything depends on the new wine accomplishing what it wants in us, but also everything depends on us as the new wineskins to give our fiat, to be open to receive this new wine. You see, and that's really what Jesus is trying to teach Louisa in these several years over volume 12, the longest of her volumes, but it's also what he's been trying to teach you and me throughout our lives in a very special way since we've come to know about this gift. So, new wineskins. You know, we can't patch or we can't put into these old wineskins old wine because they'll burst. We come to a point, you and I in our lives, as St. Bernard says, when the old wine doesn't work anymore. You know, God is not a God of standing still. God is one eternal act of love. So that one eternal act wants us to be always an eternal act in motion with him as well. The minute we stop growing, the minute we stop changing, we go backwards. Because in God, you do not remain the same. You stagnate, and therefore you go backwards. So God is always calling us to new life. And in this, he becomes the life that is not so much in front of us that we can see. He is the life, the will of God inside of us, urging us on, pushing us, driving us like the Holy Spirit did with Jesus in the desert to do something new, to allow this new wine, this new science, this new gift of God's own holiness to take power, to take root, to let the seeds of knowledge grow and flourish in our lives, to bear the fruit of the tree of life, which Jesus promises those who are victorious will eat again from that tree of life, which was banished from Adam and Eve because they could no longer eat from it. They had chosen another tree to know evil, and therefore that tree of life, now restored by the cross, which is also the tree of life, God offers us through the gift of the divine will. But the new wine is the new wineskin is up to us. You see, that's our part. You know, someone wrote to me recently and said, you know, I knew there was something more for my life, but I didn't know what it was till I started to read about this gift of the divine will, and I knew God had prepared my soul for this for all eternity. Brothers and sisters, I pray that for you, for me, for all of us. I know it's true for me. I pray it's true for you. God has prepared you for this knowledge to receive it. So don't be an old wineskin. You know, don't be an old shrunken piece of cloth. Be the new life that God wants for you. Become that new life. Share that new life with others. And if you're not doing it every day, you're not doing it. Because it is not something we do sometimes and at others. And that means dying, dying, dying every day to that human will. When God strips us of something, then let it go and let it be. He has something else he wants to put in its place. I was reminded of a story of, you know, St. Hannibal de Francia, the great, as I just mentioned, the editor and publisher of Louisa's writings. He founded several religious orders, and one of them had its mother house in France. And at one point, that mother house that they had worked so hard to build and was still quite new burned down. And when that happened, they complained to St. Hannibal and said, you know, why did God let this happen? Father Hannibal silenced them immediately and said, "Hush, let us not ask, let us not inquire as to why, but let us adore God's designs and trust in Him." See, that's the spirit of living in the will of God. Let us trust God's plan for our lives, and let us trust in Him. And sometimes those plans can look awfully, you know, contradictory, awfully difficult and troublesome for us when it seems like God is going in the opposite direction that He told us to go. He's going to do something even greater and better because we're now letting go of it ourselves, letting Him do what He wants. So if God strips you, brothers and sisters, if He strips me, let it be. Let it happen. Say, "Fiat, Lord. You know, Your will be done. This is all about You. I just want to be the new wineskin to let You carry out in my life whatever You want." And I promise you, what you're going to see happen is a miracle. God's going to turn it all around in your favor. Why? Because He sees now that you are obedient. You have become the new wineskin to let Him work. So that's a tremendous grace. St. Augustine said, it's all about grace. And he said, it's all about our human will. Both have got to go hand in hand. Our will in God's will, God's will in us. So with that word for today's gospel, I want to conclude with you today, volume 12. After that, after the music interlude, we're going to have a summary, a very brief summary of this volume, because we're going to keep moving. We don't want to stay with volume 12 all of our lives. We're going to keep moving, and next week we'll begin. The Lord put in my heart this morning that He wants me to begin volume 13 next week. So we're going to keep right on going, and we pray that you're able to follow it with a copy of that volume with us. It's a difficult one to find, but hopefully you can find it or have a copy of it somehow, and we'll start with volume 13. Next week as we continue the study of Luisa's writings. This is too important. Even, you know, I was even thinking of taking a summer break, and God said, "Why do you want to take a break? You know, don't you want this to be known? Don't you want people to come to receive this gift?" So I could play recordings, but no, I'm going to be live. I'm going to continue going on and presenting the will of God to you as long as I can till God tells me to stop. So be with me in this, and I hope you can stay with us and keep learning with us. As we conclude today, volume 12 from Luisa's writings, such an important volume. April 26, 1921. It's got a beautiful title, Jesus' War of Love. "Continuing in my usual painful state, hardly had my sweet Jesus come to me when, drawing me tightly to Himself, He said to me, 'My daughter, I repeat it to you, do not look at the earth. Let the creatures be. They want to make war. They're even doing it. But when they tire themselves, I will also wage my war.'" So here, World War I is over. They're preparing for World War II already. And he's saying, yeah, let them be. Don't look at them and what they're doing. He said, "Look at me, because I'm going to wage my own war. Their weariness of evil, their disillusions, disenchantments, and losses suffered will finally dispose them to receive my war." They'll finally get tired of all their nonsense and foolishness and let themselves be conquered by my campaign, my war. "My war will be a war of love. My will descend from heaven into their midst. All your acts and those of other souls done in my will wage war on the creatures." Let me read that again, because it's very important. "All of your acts..." It is to Luisa. "Everything you do, every thought, word, and deed, conscious or unconscious, and all of the acts of other souls done in my will." Who are those other souls? You, I hope, and me, will wage war on the creatures, but not a war of blood, not a war of destruction and death. They will battle, you and I will battle with the arms of love, giving gifts, graces, and peace to everyone. You see, those who want to wage the war of hatred, division, and death and persecution, we're going to wage instead a war of love on them. And how are we going to do that? With the weapons of our acts done in the divine will. Those are our only weapons. We don't have any physical weapons other than our bodies to do acts in the divine will. And he says, those acts done with me, through me, into my will operating in them, will have such a profound and powerful effect on the rest of the souls of humanity that they'll finally give up their war of hatred, and they will instead be conquered by the war of love, which is waged not with weapons of destruction, but weapons of new life, weapons of the new creation. Because this war of love will hasten the coming of the new creation that St. Paul talks about, the kingdom of God's reign, the reign of God's will and his love on earth. He says, they, that is, those who are doing these acts, will give surprising things as to stupefy, confound, confuse, conquer ungrateful man. Aha. You see, if you want to know how to conquer anybody, you do it by the will of God. You do it by your acts, your human acts done every day, the smallest to the greatest, in the will of God and the will of God in them. Why? Because you don't have any power to conquer anybody. Neither do I. Only God does. But trust me, when your human will is united to his, there is a power nobody can come against. Nobody can overcome. Nobody will ever conquer. That's the gift he's offering you today. You can say, well, you know, how come everything seems to be going against me in my life, even though I'm living in the divine will? How come people who live in the divine will seem to be so persecuted a lot of times or have everything going against them? Well, because that's the war that the world is raging and the devil's raging against us. But we don't succumb to that. We have other weapons. We have the divine will in us. We have the acts of our own humanity and God's will to counter them. And God will conquer. We may not see it immediately. Sometimes it looks like others are winning. Sometimes it looks like evil is conquering. Look at the death of Jesus. Boy, if ever it seemed like the devil had won and evil had come out ahead and on top, it was the death of Jesus. But look what God did with it. He turned it upside down, brought about the greatest good to human history the world has ever known and will ever know. Our redemption, our salvation. He's going to do the same thing in your life and in my life if we believe, if we trust and let him work. That's our part. That's the new wineskin. That's what we got to do. And don't shrink back and don't pull back and give up. See, so often we get discouraged, we get despondent. It's a great temptation for us today in the world because the forces of evil are so great. And the forces of evil are everywhere. They're in the church. They're in people we have to associate with sometimes. They're in ourselves. And yet, if the will of God is there, and every day we're trying little by little to surrender to it and let it take over and direct our lives, conquer us, and conquer everything else around us, we will see victory. We will see God win out. And so it takes a tremendous, I think, amount of faith and trust today to let that happen. Human faith to believe in a private revelation, but supernatural divine faith to let God take over. Let Jesus take over your life, my brother and sister. It is the only way you will ever know peace. It is the only way you will ever wage the war of love. This will of mine, Jesus says, militia of heaven with divine arms will confound man. It'll so confuse and stupefy him, he won't know what's going on. Will overwhelm him, will give him the light to see not evil, but the gifts and wealth with which I want to enrich him. You see, God conquers us by his gifts. They're all around us, and yet instead, as he tells Louisa, you're looking at the earth, you're looking at these paltry, visible, material things and thinking they're so great, and I'm offering you something infinitely, eternally, immensely greater. All of the riches of heaven, all of the riches of the kingdom, they're poured out here on earth in this pearl of great price, this treasure buried in the field, which I'm asking you to unbury, to uncover, to reveal, to find, to seek, to go after, sacrifice for, give everything for, because unless you do, you're never going to have it fully. You may have it partly, but you'll never have it completely. We have to give up everything else. The acts done in my will, carrying in themselves the creative power, will be the new salvation of man. You say, well, is this a new kind of redemption? No, it's a new way that salvation is going to be effective now in the new wineskins of our lives. It's a new way that we're going to understand what redemption's all about. And we're going to understand it now through the prism of the third fiat, which is the lens of sanctification, to see what in the world did God really want to do in redemption. Did he just want to make it possible for us to suffer through this world and get in, squeak through the gates of heaven, as I say? Or did he save us so that this kingdom of his will could be restored on earth because it was lost? And of course, he restored it in his own person and in the humanity of Mary, his creature. But now he says, after 2,000 years, I want it restored fully through this divine science in you. This is his gift to you, the wealth, the riches of his kingdom poured out fully in abundance of the new life that comes through us through salvation, but now in a more profound appreciation, understanding, through this third work of God, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, the church calls sanctification, the third era of the third work of the Holy Spirit. Remember the work of God, the Father's creation, Son is redemption, the Holy Spirit is to sanctify, to make perfect and complete the work of creation and redemption. That's what he's doing today. That's what he's doing in you and in me, even in spite of ourselves at times. And so this new salvation, this new understanding of salvation, descending from heaven, will bring all of these goods, these riches, this wealth of the kingdom upon earth. And is that what Jesus prayed for? Absolutely. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They, who are they? The acts done in my will. Again, he's reiterating this. It's not just you doing what you do. It's your acts doing what you do with me, what I've done in the will of God. These acts will bring the new era. Your acts, brothers and sisters. And I hope if there's anything you've learned in this year and a half of studying volume 12 with me, it's that your acts are everything. Your acts are the way in which your humanity unites with the divinity of God's will and makes that divinity now present and effective and powerful on earth. Your acts are everything. Your human will is everything, because without it, you have no freedom to allow God's will to do what it wants. See, that's why Adam and Eve were created free. That's why they could sin. That's why God loves freedom, because it's the only way you can love. You're not going to love if you're forced to love. What kind of love is that? Love is an act of freedom. And so he's asking you to freely choose to use those acts of yours for the good of other souls, all other souls, and for the glory of God by uniting your acts, your free acts, to those of God's will. This is what will hasten the new era and the triumph over human iniquity. This is what will overcome, defeat, conquer the war of hatred and division and jealousy and envy and pride that is causing, wreaking havoc in our souls and in our world. And until this war of love begins to be waged against it in you and me, that other war will continue, that other enemy will continue to advance. But God is saying, no, it will never conquer, because my war, my militia, my weapons are infinitely greater than yours, humanity. I will win, and you want to be on the winning side as I do, and I want to be a part of this war of love, this spiritual warfare today that is at the very heart of what it means to be a Catholic and a Christian. And if you don't see yourself engaged in that warfare today in the church and in our country, then I'm afraid you're not living in the real world. That is the war that God's asking us to be a part of. Not by looking at the enemy and their weapons and all of their evil means of trying to destroy us, but instead looking at God, looking at Jesus, and looking at what he did by the power of the Father's will, working in Him, and make yourself one with it. Unite yourself one with it every moment of every day. Even in your sleep, come to find will sleep in my sleeping, rest in my resting, dream in my dreaming, circulate in my blood, in my memory, intellect, imagination while I'm sleeping. Therefore, multiply your acts in my will so as to form the new weapons, the arms, the gifts, and the graces for descending into the midst of creatures and battling them, conquering them with love. Conquering them with love. Battling them with love. If you're not engaged in that battle, you're not doing anything for the world today, because that's the only battle there is, to conquer the evil in this world, its iniquity, its hatred, its pride, all that comes from the human will. Battle it and conquer it with love. See, and that means every person that puts himself against you, that wants to be your enemy, you don't conquer them by submitting to their evil or to the things they do against you necessarily, but you try to love them with the truth. You love them but with the weapons of truth. You know, there is no way, God calls us, as Pope Benedict reminds us many times, to be passive and submissive in the face of evil. No, we must wage a battle, a war, against it. But let us do it with love, not with anger and hatred. Anger serves its purpose at times, as it did in the life of Jesus. But listen, being patient doesn't mean being weak. Suffering what others do to us is not weakness. That's the greatest strength there is, when we are waging our battle, our war of love in truth against it. See, we do that interiorly. We also have to do it with words. When the good of other souls is at stake, when the kingdom of God is at risk, is in jeopardy, when the network of Radio Maria is at stake, we speak the truth and we defend it. But we also accept God's will as the way it happens. And this is the war of love that he asks us to wage. It's a tremendous war. It's a tremendous struggle in our lives. It's a conflict within us to know how to wage this war of love and at the same time speak out and proclaim the truths of the kingdom. How do you do both? Well, if you find an answer to that question, please let me know. Because it is the question of my life. It is the question of all of our lives. And if we're not asking that question, it's not a question of why, it's a question of how. Who will accomplish this? Can I? No. Can the divine will? Yes. And the divine will accomplish it in me when I surrender to it and I allow it to happen. Then, with an even more afflicted accent, Jesus added, "My daughter, it will happen to me as to a poor father whose evil children not only offend him, but want to kill him." They want to drive him away. Not only just to throw him out of the house, but to kill their loving father. That's what the prodigal son did when he said, "Father, give me my inheritance now." In other words, "I wish you were dead. I wish I had what everything you're going to leave to me when you die. I want it now." And he gave it to him. He gave it to him to let him go. That's what we do to our Father, our Heavenly Father. "I want it all now. I want it here on earth. I don't need you. I don't need you to be my Father anymore. I wish you were dead." Furthermore, if they do not do it, it's simply because they can't do it. They're not able to kill God the Father. "Now, if these children want to kill their own father, is it any wonder that they go about killing themselves and each other?" Is it any wonder, if we want God to be dead, that we want that suicide and this innocent slaughter and random acts of violence and killing? Remember a few years ago how shocked you were when you heard about somebody walking into a place of employment and killing their boss or their co-workers? Now it's almost a daily occurrence. You see, people kill each other over nothing, over a pair of sneakers. If one is against the other, is it any wonder that we want even our Father, our Heavenly Father, Creator, to be dead? If they make themselves miserable and go so far as to form their own ruin, and what is worse, they do not even remember that they have a Father. You see, the Father is even being banished from the language of our church in some places. Some people in our church do not want God to be called Father. Can you imagine? The only word Jesus used to describe God was Father. Abba, Daddy. And people, good Catholics, supposedly good Catholics, don't want God to be called Father anymore. Is that not killing God, our Father? It's insanity. It's crazy. How can people who believe in God not believe that God is Father and be a Christian? It's impossible. Now this Father, what does he do? Exiled by his own children, while they struggle and wound each other and about to perish from hunger, the Father is all the while toiling to acquire new riches, new gifts, new graces, and remedies, healing, reconciliation for his children. What does Jesus do when he's being scourged? He prays for those who are scourging him. He's praying for even greater gifts of mercy upon those who are killing him. Do you do that? Do I do that? When somebody goes against me, somebody tries to hurt me or those I love in some way who want to deny my rightful place in the world, my human dignity or my authority, who don't respect me or you, is that my attitude? Do I take on myself the pallium of carrying the sheep on my own shoulders? And that means the scourging too, the cross, that pallium that those bishops, the Holy Father receives, is the wool of the innocent lamb, carrying God's people, his flock on his shoulders, going out looking for them, you know, getting them out of the brambles when they're caught in there and the evils of the world. Do we do that? Do we bear on our own shoulders the scourges that they deserve? Now, there's a good question. There's a good test whether or not you're a Christian. Instead, do we ask for new graces, more mercy, more reconciliation for those who are doing these things? You know, this is an important time in our country to pray this way. You see, we don't just pray against in our war of love. We pray for. We pray for more help for them. That's the way our Father is. What does he do? He's waiting all the time for that son to come back, and he runs out to meet him. He celebrates. He gives him even more riches than he had before he left to go wandering. See, no wonder the older son's indignant. I probably would be too. Is resentful. Because that's the way God treats us. That's the way he treats his wayward, prodigal children. That's the kind of Father he is. It's the kind of Savior Jesus is. Moreover, when he sees them almost lost, he goes into their midst and makes them even richer. He gives them remedies for their wounds, brings peace and happiness to all. Now these children, before so much love, will bind themselves to the Father with lasting peace, and they will love him. So it will happen for me. See, it always ends on a happy note. With God, everything always turns out for good, and he always wins. Have no doubt about it, my brother, my sister. God will win over everything and everyone. Now these children, before so much love, will finally bind themselves. They'll claim the Father again. They'll unite themselves to him as their children, as his children, with lasting peace, and they will love him. And this is the way it will be for me as well. And I'm going to keep going today, brother and sister, because I have so much I want to share with you. We're not going to stop for a break today. I'm just going to keep right going. The Holy Spirit's not going to let me stop, so hang on. Therefore, I want you in my will as the faithful daughter of my volition. I want you bound to me, not just, you know, loosely affiliated, not just kind of loosely tied to me. I want you bound in everything. You know, and if that's not what you're about, then you don't need to listen to this program. In fact, you don't need to be a Christian. You don't need to follow Jesus if you're not serious. As Sister Ann Scheel says many times, if you're still straddling, you need to get off the fence. You need to make a choice. You need to use your freedom for the purpose God gave it to you. It's the greatest gift you have. and I have, and if we don't use it for that purpose, then we're not following Jesus, and we're going to pay a heavy price for it, either here or later. So he says, I want you as a faithful daughter, and then together with me, I want you to work so as to acquire new riches to give to creatures. It's not about you or me only. Yes, it is for us, but it's for everybody. And that if we don't have that new, fresh, spiritual way of thinking, as St. Paul says in Ephesians 4, if you don't have that divine attitude, as Jesus calls it in volume 12, if you don't have that spiritual way of seeing the world and your brother and sister and all of creation, then you better look for it. You better start praying and begging for it, because this is what he wants. This is why he called us to be with him as Christians, as followers of Jesus, in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of his will. Be faithful to me and do not occupy yourself with anything else. Whatever you occupy yourself with, that's where your heart is. And that's where your treasure is. And that's why your heart is there, because that's what you value in life. Now, does that mean I don't have to occupy myself with my job, my family, my church, my finances? Of course we do. But seek first the kingdom in that occupation and those things that occupy you, and then all the rest will be given to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his lordship over you. Then your job will go well. Then your family will finally come together and stop fighting. Then you will have peace in your life. Then you'll be united and work together. Seek first my lordship, my will over you. The rest will come by itself. And if God is not faithful to that promise, then we have no reason to be here. But he is faithful to that promise. So he says, don't occupy yourself. Don't give all of your attention to these other things. Have one eye on those, but the other eye on me. Seek first the kingdom in what you're doing and those acts that you're doing at this moment. Let the kingdom be revealed. Let the kingdom be extended and fruitful through whatever you're doing. And that means you can't be doing bad things, because the kingdom's not going to be there. You know, if your addiction and your gambling and your pornography or your alcohol or your drugs is the occupation of your life, then brothers and sisters, get free. Turn to Jesus. Let the divine will free you first. Seek his lordship over you, and then the rest will come. Life is too short to waste it. Life is so precious. And the eternal life that he wants you to have is in you through baptism, unless you've darkened it completely by mortal sin. But even then you can be healed, you can be restored. Go and find peace. Go and find this reconciliation. Be faithful to me, and don't occupy yourself with anything else. Whatever it is, get rid of it. All of that ambition, all of that self-centeredness. You know, Jesus has so many lessons about this in volume 12, doesn't he? What does he say? Even your spiritual ambitions, your spiritual desires, your religious undertakings, practices, can simply be ways of exercising your human will to get what you want. And there are some people, you know, I'm sorry to say, who their spirituality is all about gimme, gimme, gimme. All I can get out of it for myself. That's not spirituality. That's self-centeredness. It's egoism. It's narcissism. No, our lives have got to be about what can I give? What can I give back to God for all he's rendered me? I will take up the chalice of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I'll give it back to him. I'll return it with all the love of my heart. That's what this divine will is about. Receiving, restoring, returning to God. But first I have to receive it. I have to thank him and be grateful for it, because half the time all I'm looking at is what I don't have. I go through life, as they say, with the glass half empty instead of half full. I'm always looking at the negative. I'm always looking at what somebody doesn't do for me, or hasn't given me. My parents didn't do this. My parents didn't love me the way I needed to be. You know, I didn't get a car when I was 16 like my friends. You know, instead of saying, yeah, but look at how wonderful they are to me. Look at what they do give me. Look at how God's protecting me by not giving me things that could harm me. See, and so many times in life when we find that kind of, that we're rejected or we're denied things that we want and that we are so sure we need and have to have in our lives, that God could be protecting us from something much, much worse. I think of that when I'm stalled in traffic sometimes. You know, be on a highway, I've waited hours sometimes on a freeway and all the traveling I've done because of an accident or something. Well, I say, thank you, God, you've given me a few minutes to rest and to just be with you, to pray, say another rosary, and to thank you that you've delivered me from something that could have been infinitely worse. We've got to look at life that way. As St. Hannibal said when his convent, the mother house, burned down for a brand new community. Just imagine, you're just founding a religious order, you've built a beautiful mother house to house them all, and it burns down to the ground. What do you say? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, because your inscrutable will knows the good that will come out of this seeming setback and tragedy. We look at the life of, who do we just celebrate? St. Elizabeth of Portugal. One point, her husband was so furious with her because of all the good she was doing in his kingdom and for him, and people attacked her and accused her of terrible things. He took her crown away, threw her out of the castle onto the street with nothing. You know, she praised God. She thanked God. What did she do? She became a Franciscan. Third order Franciscan. Well, if I don't have anything, then I'll be a Franciscan. I'll take a vow of poverty. And as it turns out, what happens? God restored her to fullness. Her husband dies. She takes care of him through his suffering and death. She's restored as queen, and she does so much good for that country. You know, this is the way a saint lives. This is the way we have to live in the will of God. It's the way St. Hannibal, Louisa, certainly lived. So it's now 9:42, and I need to continue with this program today. I want to share with you a couple more passages from Volume 12 before we conclude today. And Jesus says in Volume 12, I'll give you the dates, so if you want to go back and look at these, July 25th, 1917, you must know that the most noble, the most sublime, and most heroic act is to do my will and to operate in my will. So, yeah, it's a great thing to do God's will. You can't live in it if you're not doing it. But what does it mean to do it the way Jesus and Mary did? The way the saints in heaven do it, the way Adam and Eve did it before the fall. What does that mean? It means to live every moment in it, to have the divine will living in you. There he says, therefore, no other act can equal this act. You see, what the Holy Spirit is giving us today in these passages is how important your acts are. And brothers and sisters, if you say, well, I haven't been doing a very good job, don't worry about it. Start over. Do it now. Put your acts in God's will at this very moment as you're listening to me. Come, divine will, in this act of my thinking, of receiving these words, of listening in my speaking, my heart beating, my breathing, the blood circulating in me, that you have created all of this. Let your divine will, the source of my creation, flow in everything that I'm doing. No other act can equal it. I make a display of all my love and generosity in what you were doing at that moment. Scarcely does the soul decide to do it, then I give her the honor of holding her in my will. Scarcely does the soul decide to do it, then I give her the honor of holding her in my volition. You know, the minute you heard about this, and the minute I heard about it, and we finally said yes, fiat, I want it. Give it to me right now. I want it. This is the greatest thing I'll ever hear about, I could ever do, I could ever live. I want it now. Jesus says, then start doing your acts in the divine will, and it is yours. And you have entered into the kingdom of my will. If you're in a state of grace, you can do it. If not, get there and start as soon as you can. He says, well, the minute you decide, and that decision is a yes, to receive it first of all, and to say, yes, I believe this is possible. I believe you want to give this to me. I accept it. He says, the minute you decide to do it, to cooperate with it, then I begin to hold you in the embrace and the arms of my will. The kingdom is now surrounding you, protecting you. It's there to give you life. It's inside of you now to do in you everything that you do, provided it's done in grace. It's done with a good heart, a good intention, a good will. And then he says, in that act in which the two wills, a communion of wills that Pope Benedict speaks of so often, in that act in which those two wills, yours and mine, come together and encounter each other to fuse themselves one in the other, they now form one alone. One alone. That is what the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the hypostatic union is the fusion of those two wills. He had it by nature. Mary had it by grace in her Immaculate Conception. You and I have it by grace by learning about it. Louisa had it by grace by learning about it. You do not get it by nature. I think St. Joseph got it by osmosis too, by living with Jesus and Mary. We can get it that way by living, and you want to surround yourself with people living in the divine will because you'll pick it up from them. Grace is contagious, you know. The divine will is contagious. You will pick it up from that group of people you study with and meet with. You will learn it from them through the Holy Spirit in them, not just from them, but from God in them, speaking and sharing. That's why those groups are so very important. You who are meeting today and listening, I commend you and I praise God for you. Please don't give it up. Continue. Persevere. Yes, we have human conflicts in our social interactions, but so what? You know, you're going to have them anywhere and everywhere. Get used to it. It's part of life. But let the divine will conquer those things in you and among you. And stay with it. Stay with the divine will. He says, if that soul who begins to live this way is stained, I will purify her. If the thorns of human nature envelop them, I will break them. And if some nail, that is sin, pierces her, that is, if we even still have some sin, you know, even Jesus says at another time, even maybe some serious sin that we're struggling with, provided we're struggling against it and going to confession. He says, even that sin, I will pulverize it because nothing of evil can enter into my will. But he's saying, I will do that for you if you do your part. If you say yes, give your fiat and decide to live this way, start doing your acts, I'll do the rest. Again, St. Augustine, it's all about God's work and God's grace, but it's all about our cooperation too. Indeed, all my attributes invest her and change weakness into strength, ignorance into knowledge, misery into riches, and so on with all the rest. All my attributes. How do you get the attributes of God? How do you get where do you get them? Where do you find them? First of all, in the Eucharist, when you receive body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ our Lord, you get all the attributes of his humanity and his divinity, if you want them, if you believe it, if you receive them lovingly, gratefully. All of the attributes of God are there. But they're also in his will, which is the source of the Holy Eucharist. And when did you receive God's will? In baptism, through the indwelling of the Holy Trinity. And what unites the Trinity as one is their one divine will you received in baptism. It was strengthened in confirmation, nourished now in the Eucharist. All of my attributes will come and fill you and change you, will change your weaknesses into strength, your ignorance into knowledge, misery into riches, and so on with all the rest. In the other acts, that is, your merely human acts that you do without God's will, there remains always something of yourself. Your own ego is going to be a part. Even in holy things, brothers and sisters, your ego can be there and probably is there, just as mine is. Even in holy spiritual, religious things. We're looking for something for ourselves. And Jesus doesn't even condemn that. He says, but if you want the right reward, if you want the reward that's worth waiting for, the heavenly reward, then he said, do it the right way. Get out of yourself. Get over yourself. Do it in my will. Let my will take over your life. And let go of all the rest. Stop the self-seeking. Stop the ambition. Stop the worrying and anxiety about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. In the other acts, your human acts, there's always something of yourself. But these acts are completely despoiled of oneself. And I will fill you with all of me. See, I will fill you with all of me. Why and how? How can it happen? Because you're empty. You're emptying yourself. How do you empty yourself? By letting the divine will do in you what you do. You know, in the old way, it was by a lot of fasting, a lot of penance and mortification. And granted, that's part of life and part of our spirituality today in the church. We don't give it up. It's very important. But he's giving you an easier way right now. He's saying, a lot of you can't do that. A lot of us are getting older. We can't do a lot of fasting. Can't do spend the hours on our knees that we used to or would want to. We just can't do it. There are things we used to do in our mortification that we can no longer do. And he's saying now to you and to me, I'm giving you a shortcut that is the shortest of all cuts. It's the safest and surest and easiest path to heaven. And he said, that is to let the divine will do in you what you do, and I'll take care of the rest. I will fill you with me, and I will give you my own divine life now to live, to operate, to carry out in you all that is pleasing to me. Well, brothers and sisters, with those words, I will fill you with all of me. We come to the title of this program, this series on volume 12 of the Book of Heaven. It was called Heaven in Our Souls. Heaven is not just up there. As Emily Dickinson said in her poem, I'm not going to heaven only when I die. I'm going there all along the way. Because heaven is here. It's in us, in our souls. Granted, it's not in the world for the most part. The kingdom, what does Jesus say? It's within you and among you. It's in you when you allow it to be there. And it's among you when you treat each other in the way of children of my kingdom. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, receive the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, and it was prepared there because it was given first to Adam and Eve. It's now been restored to you in all of its fullness through this divine science, this new and divine holiness. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord, our Blessed Mother, all the angels and saints, especially Louisa and Saint Hannibal, come to our aid. Help us to know what it means. Help us to possess so great a gift and to love it with all our hearts. God wants to give you heaven in your souls. Don't choose anything else. Don't occupy yourself with anything else. As St. Peter says, let us not be given over to the things of our past. Let us dedicate the rest of our lives to the will of God. That's my prayer for you as we conclude our program and this series today. Stay with us next week for volume 13. You're in my heart and my prayers, in the will of God. Please keep me in yours. God bless you now and always, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.